I would not want being out of town to be a reason that there shouldn't be a shir this week. So I guess I'll just do it by recording. Let's start with a nice word that Pashas told us. Pashas told us, the Pusik tells us, V'yeta Yitzhak L'Hashem L'Noichach Ishtoi. Right? Yitzhak Avini was davening to Hashem L'Noichach Ishtoi. So it's a word from Yaakov Duvid Amshinover. He said, what's the Pusik telling us? He davened across from his wife. He didn't have anywhere else to daven. What was really going on? So he says that Rivka, the tzaddikus, she was being mispalled that Hashem should answer her tefillas. And it's chis of Yitzhak Avini. He was a tzaddik, ben tzaddik. And I guess it made a lot of sense that she should be mispalled like that. So he says, but Yitzchak, he was being mispalled just the opposite. He was being mispalled that Hashem should answer his tefillas in the chis of Rivka. And the reason was because he felt, you know, me, I'm a tzaddik, of course. I had a father, a tzaddik, and I grew up in an erlich home, so it's not a big deal that I'm a tzaddik. But look at my wife. She grew up in a place that was, you know, full of reshuim, and she's still a tzaddik. So maybe in her schus, I'll be able to have my tefillahs answered. He said that's what l'noichach ishtei means, exactly the opposite of what she was davening. She was davening that it should be in his schus, and he was davening just the opposite. Now, it's beautiful if we could always have such an attitude, and I know it's not easy. You know, husband and wife, always seeing the good in the other person. She's seeing him as being more erlich, and he's seeing her as having overcome a greater challenge. You know, and a lot of times people would be willing to see the good in someone else. Well, if that person sees it in me, right? If my wife respects me, I'll respect her. If she sees the good in me, I'll respect. You know, it's so much easier for me to see the good in myself, which I think she's missing all the time. But this is something that the Pusik is teaching us, and something we should learn from. You know, if we would all come up with what the other one is doing good, and all come up with what we could do to be a better person, instead of always self-justification and then blaming someone else. And of course, Rivka and Yitzchak didn't do this because they made up in advance, you know what, I'll be mispalled that you're a great guy, and you'll be mispalled that I'm a great person. No, they both meant it genuinely, obviously. And it's just something we can learn from. And b'chlal, when it comes to Shulam Bayis, I mention this often, when people would think about what could I do, right? Which part could I make better? Where could I be even a better spouse? Now, of course, there's always something that someone else is doing wrong. And most often, that's the part that a person will notice first. And that's the part people come to complain about first. That's the part people mention. And that's the part people that understand. Like, this is really what's bothering my shalom bias. But if you could just think about it, what could I do better? Maybe there is something I could do better. Maybe there is something that my spouse is lacking, not because she's bad or not because he's not understanding or not sensitive enough, just simply because I could have done something even better. Now, do I have to? No, you don't have to. But not having to doesn't mean that you shouldn't. So that's something that we can definitely learn from this week's parsha. I'm going to read a question that somebody sent in. A little sensitive. I'm going to leave out some details, some unnecessary details, and I hope people will get the gist of what's going on. You know, it's a delicate topic, so there's only so much that I'm going to say, but let's just get to the point. Good morning. I appreciate your wisdom immensely, and I've written to you before with questions. I'd be very grateful if you can answer this question, and halavai that you can respond about it. Okay. I had a situation with my husband which I found to be extremely humiliating. I'd like to know if I'm being too sensitive, as well as how to forgive and move on. It's very personal and private, so I hope it's okay if I ask you. I recently gave birth, and I've been feeling more overwhelmed and stressed than before. Sometimes I lose myself and say things that I later regret, either because I'm upset about something, or I just say it wrong, or because I feel unheard and misunderstood. In general, though, I love my husband immensely and never want him to be hurt. Not that I never hurt him, but I always apologize and try to make up to him. This week it was busy and stressful, and simply we barely had time to spend together. After an extremely difficult day, where I suffered immense humiliation and pain from something unrelated, I felt very down. I really wanted space, but my husband asked me if we could be together. I remembered your shiur where you discussed that being together is major in a marriage, and it's not right for one spouse to say no just because they're not in the mood. Okay, and over here I'm going to cut out some unnecessary details. Later, my husband looked unhappy, and he said that he was hurt about something, and I told him something I told him earlier this week, and that now is not a good time. I felt so hurt. Here, in my most vulnerable state, in the closest part of our marriage, that's when he brings up painful discussions. Especially that I was in such pain a whole day, and I just told him that whatever goes on outside, with him I feel safe, and he makes me feel so secure, etc. And he was the one that asked me. And when I asked him that, he said that, you know, he did want, but not anymore, and I feel very burnt and hurt. I left the room, and I've been in pain since. What can I do to fix this situation? Am I right that this was a line that should not have been crossed? I'd really appreciate your perspective. Thank you. P.S. I find it hard to trust my husband if when things are very difficult for me, like after birth, when I feel overwhelmed and emotional, he can't handle it. I thought that in marriage, spouses are there for each other in all situations. Why do I always have to be perfect supermom and superwife for him to appreciate me. And even then, I don't feel appreciated. It's just expected. I find myself very stressed when he's home because I know he's judging me and I have to be perfect on his standard. Also, I listen to a lot of shirim for women, and they all stress how the wife is the one who has the power of how the husband will act towards her to elevate the husband. And sometimes I feel that it's unfair. Is it right that I have to feel responsible every time my husband does something upsetting? I feel like I must have messed up the balance. Thank you again. May you continue having the koiches to help Klal Yisrael. Okay, so this is definitely, you know, very sensitive and delicate. You know, the question arises that she's feeling hurt and in pain ever since. I hope she's not feeling in pain this many months after she sent me this letter. But, you know, I try to get the questions in the order that they were received. So there are ideas about understanding each other better in general. And I would assume, just from reading between the lines, that this woman could gain a lot from understanding her husband better in general. Okay, I'm going to be addressing what she brought up and how to deal with it and what happened. But I'm just mentioning in advance that understanding your husband's personality better, instead of looking at things that happened, being resentful and only picking up on them once they already occurred, you know, that's not great. If you know someone better in advance and you know how to avoid difficulties, you know, that's something very different. And that's, yeah, for those who know, I wrote a book, Get Along With Everyone, where I talk about understanding people's natures and personalities, and automatically you're a few steps ahead when you know how somebody will respond and react and what makes them tick. But let me just go to what's being described over here in the question. Now, obviously, I don't mean to be critical of this questioner, especially not somebody who's in pain or hurting. And I don't think she's a bad wife at all, chas v'shalom, or did anything terribly wrong. But I do want to pick up on a few points that I think maybe weren't great. Okay, and I'm saying this only, obviously, you know, to help and benefit whoever's listening, right? So the first thing that it's always important to remember that it's normal and easier to see what somebody else did wrong, and it's normal and easier to see why what that person did wrong was worse than what I did wrong, right? You know, I sometimes say nasty comments, I sometimes do hurtful things. Yeah, but I always apologize. Yeah. But then he said something, and that was really, you know, what made it really worse? Well, the fact that it was done to me. I mean, it's not necessarily so. In other words, it could be that it really was worse. It could be that you, just give you an example, which I don't mean. But let's say you screamed at someone at level 5, and they screamed back at you at level 6. The way to judge which was worse is not to take the tape recorder and start realizing, hey, 1 second, yeah, you screamed louder than I did. That's not the point. When somebody could take responsibility, this is what I did, and I did it wrong, and I'm not going to justify by the fact that you did something worse. You know, it's like when a little kid comes home from Chayder and says, I don't know why my teacher punished me. So what do you mean, you don't know why? Well, yeah, because I threw something, but other kids threw two things. You know, go explain to a kid that, you know, you did something wrong, and you have to own up to it. The fact that somebody else did something worse, or didn't do something worse, or you thought they did something worse, of course you can always think that the other kid made more trouble. You know, but when you do something wrong, you do something wrong. It doesn't become less wrong because someone else did something worse. And another point is that sometimes even if the person did scream louder, you may have screamed at somebody who's, let's say, more sensitive or took it worse. So the fact that somebody else screamed actually louder doesn't mean that it was worse. It's always good to understand that. I'm saying the general attitude of, yeah, I could sometimes say things that are hurtful, but he hurt my feelings. Again, could be he hurt your feelings more than you hurt his. Could be you're more sensitive than he is. That could also be. But in general, we tend to see what someone else did as being worse. And it's always good to just put into perspective, listen, I could clean up my side of the street. I can't necessarily dictate what someone else is going to do or should do. And the next thing is that sometimes when we do hurt someone, a lot of people take credit in the fact that, well, I apologize. Listen, I said I'm sorry. I always say I'm sorry. Now, I don't want to come across sounding negative at all, because I believe that that's the best thing you could do, to apologize. If you hurt someone's feelings, you apologize. There is not much more that you could really do. Well, obviously, there is much more you could do, and that is to make sure it doesn't happen again. And unfortunately, a lot of people get that attitude of stop saying I'm sorry and just stop hurting my feelings. You know, well, what I said I'm sorry. I know you said I'm sorry. It's about the sixth time this week that you said I'm sorry, and you keep on hurting me. Now, I want to be very careful here. I don't mean that the husband or whoever it is has right to reject an apology because I don't need your I'm sorry's. It's a terrible thing when people do that. If somebody hurt your feelings and somebody's saying I'm sorry, the right thing to do and the best thing you could do is say thank you, I appreciate that you're saying that. It's not easy to say I'm sorry. Many of you know that, many of us know that. It's not easy to apologize and own up, And if somebody is brave enough to do it, and somebody tells you, I apologize for saying something, you should take it, and you should be thankful. You should appreciate that somebody acknowledged they did something wrong, and you shouldn't make them feel stupid about it, and you should definitely not reject it. And honestly, when it comes to the past, at least, there's not much more someone could do. Well, going forward, maybe there is, obviously, but about the past. And very often, people that will reject an apology are people that don't know how to give it. So they make it sound like, oh, I don't need sorries. Who needs sorries? You know, but maybe you don't need sorries, but a lot of people do. And let's see if you could say one. But anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent. My point is that when you justify what you did with the fact that, well, I apologized, you have to realize that a lot of people are thinking about it to themselves and saying, you know what, stop apologizing. I don't care. You're hurting my feelings too often. So it's just another idea where people justify what they do because they said, I'm sorry. And, you know, from your end, you really do have to be much more careful and not say, well, I apologized. You know, another point is that when you're in a bad mood about something, right, whether it's because you had a baby or because somebody hurt your feelings, whatever it may be, you have to realize that your bad mood is very unpleasant for a lot of people. You know, the fact that it's unrelated, a lot of times people make it sound like, well, it was totally unrelated to him and it has nothing to do with him. So like, why is he mixing in, basically? Your bad mood is very related to him, regardless of what triggered it. Now, obviously, if a person is in a bad mood, they're in a bad mood. We're all human, and we all go through different things. And it's normal for somebody to feel hurt and to need space and to not be in the best mood. All that is normal. But there's a way to communicate that. It's very normal for somebody to tell a spouse or to tell anyone for that matter, yeah, I'm really not in a great mood today. I had a hard day today. Somebody said something. Now, I know you have to be very vulnerable and open and be able to communicate for that. But if you don't do it, then sometimes you're making someone else deal with your bad mood, not knowing what it's about or how to deal with it. And then you get resentful that they don't know how to calm you down. You have to communicate. It's not always easy to communicate, especially when you're in a bad mood about something, especially when you're hurt. But the best thing you could do is communicate. Tell someone. Now, often people start venting their bad moods without letting someone know, hello, I'm venting. It's a big mistake people make. I'm in a bad mood about something, so I come home grouchy, and I'm telling you, terrible, you know what happened today? I'm telling you, can't imagine, and then this and that. And what happens is your spouse starts saying, well, if you would have gotten up earlier, you wouldn't have gotten to work late. If you wouldn't have gotten to work late, your boss wouldn't have said it. Your boss would have... Now, why is your wife answering like that? Because she thinks that you're kvetching to her as if it's her problem. And very often people do that. They imply that, oh, last night we were up late together and we were schmoozing till late at night. Then I thought I woke up late, then I got to the work late, and then my boss... Now, somehow, some weird, she's feeling blamed for your problem. Or she thinks that maybe you're sharing it with her because it's her fault. Or sometimes people just go into problem-solving mode and try to give good advice and totally unsolicited advice that they weren't interested in. If you tell someone in advance, I want to share with you what's on my mind. I'm just venting. Nothing to do with you. Just listen. You know, I had a very difficult day. People will appreciate both the being open. People will appreciate knowing how you feel. And people will appreciate being able to be a listening ear. But they don't get the opportunity if they think that you're being critical or implying that they did something wrong. So that's just the way to say it. But saying it is very important. Not saying it and being a martyr, you know what, I had a hard day. I'm going to just put it all in my pocket, shove it under the rug, make believe it didn't happen, come with a big smile. It doesn't work. It's like the idea that we spoke about often. I was quoting a book that was talking the counterintuitive approach to shalom bias and saying how being mevater is the worst thing you can do in your marriage. Now, we're always taught that being mevater is amazing. Are you mevater for someone? But if you're mevater on something with the cheshbon that I hope I'm going to get something back for it, and in the meantime you don't get something back, you just get more resentful. So if you decided to give up on something that was important to you, but in the meantime you expected that someone will appreciate it or reciprocate or compromise, and the person didn't, you get more resentful. So what happens from your whole being mevater? You hurt your relationship because you're mevater. And the same thing is here. You know, if you're resentful about something, you stick it in your pocket and you don't say anything, and then somebody else hurts you because, you know, I was being so good, I didn't even want to say anything. I was putting away my bad mood. I made believe it didn't happen, and look what happened. You weren't helping anyone by making believe it didn't happen. If you would express yourself and communicate that something's bothering you and be more open, then that communication and sharing that information would definitely make it easier for someone to be nice to you. So making someone deal with your bad mood, and especially a husband who's dealing with hormonal wife after months of pregnancy and childbirth, it's something to think about. Somebody is dealing with your bad mood, and if you could explain it or talk about it or at least be open about it and own up, just admit, just acknowledge, I'm in a bad mood, I'm very stressed out. Telling someone, I'm stressed out, it's not about you, just makes it easier for the other person. So I hope I didn't come across too critical of this writer, I don't mean, you know, this is all normal. I'm just trying to first point out which parts maybe could have taka been done differently. Now let's go to the bigger idea. And the bigger idea is that, like the writer quotes me, and people quote me on this topic very often actually. You know, I learned from you that intimacy shouldn't be dependent on moods, and you should always be available, and you should be supposed to. But one of the things that I often mention is that things like this should be scheduled. And it's not because you want to be rigid, and not because you want to be very principled, and not because, you know, you can't be flexible. It's because things like this become stressful so often. He wanted, and he asked, and he told me no, then I wanted, I thought, and I was in the mood, and I wasn't getting the hint, and then he wasn't getting the hint, and we went to sleep upset. When you schedule something, there isn't that room for understanding. There isn't room for understanding. It's a certain, I always say this, imagine if it would be a supper, right? Supper time, well, we want to be excited to eat supper, and we want to have appetite to eat supper. So one day I had appetite, and one day I didn't. And one time you had the appetite, but I didn't. So you gave supper early, and I was still full from the previous meal. And one day I wanted this, and you gave it to me 10 o'clock at night, and I thought it was coming at 6 o'clock, so I started getting resentful. How does that work? The difference is that with supper, there's such a thing as a couple understanding. You know what? We don't always have to eat together. It's fine if we eat together most days. But if once in 2 weeks I get very hungry an hour before supper, I'll eat early. And when you come home, I'll sit with you, and you'll eat. That's still okay. But when it comes to something as sensitive as husband and wife being together, that's definitely something that you can't, just have it be too flexible or too dependent on anything. Recently, I got an email from a woman who wrote to me how much this idea helped her, knowing that it's not dependent on moods, and it's not dependent on if someone says something or doesn't say something, or what happened at work that day. This is very, very important, very important. And it's also not something that someone should use against the other person, like, oh, you're not making me in the mood, I'm not excited, and I'm not this, and whatever. This is a little too, very sensitive ideas. But definitely something to remember when it's straightforward and it's seen as a healthy and a good obligation, something that's going to take care of us and something that in the long term will only be to our benefit. You know, we just stick to something and we don't use it against each other. And even when you do have a schedule, and even when things are happening, sometimes people use opportunity, and I think that it's a terrible manipulation, and I hear about it often. Okay, now that I have you hostage, right, because now I know you're not going to sleep, and you have to listen to me, and, I'm going to start bringing up all the different problems that we have, all the things that are bothering me, all the things that you did wrong, and we're going to have to solve all the things, we're putting everything on the table now, and you don't have a choice, there's nowhere to go, you can't run away, it's late at night, and we made up something for tonight, and, now we're going to, have to clear all the accounts. That's a terrible thing. Aside from the fact that it's terrible because it doesn't help anyone get closer. And in a time where you want to get closer, you don't want to, you stop manipulating someone. So what's the cheshbon? Well, now I have you in my hands, right? So I'm going to start telling you things. I'm going to start asking you if you could buy me things. I'm going to start asking you if we can go somewhere. I'm going to start telling you how much it bothered me something that you did or said. And now you're going to have to clear it all up because you don't have a choice. It's a terrible thing to do. Now some people will start quoting Chazal about being Mephias Ishtu Lefnei. And that's not what Mephias means. Mephias means that I'm going to tell you, I'm sorry if I did something wrong to you. I'm going to apologize and try to get closer to you. I'm not going to force you to get closer to me. That's called manipulation. That's called holding someone hostage. And that's definitely not reawakening all the sleeping bears and taking out all the skeletons from the closet in a vulnerable minute is definitely not good. Now, in this case, what the writer is describing, I don't think it happened with a major cheshbon, but maybe it did, I don't know. Right, we have a cheshbon from a week ago, and that's it. Tuesday night, we're going to clear the record. You just wait. That's very wrong. It's not the time for that. Now, there has to be a time for it. There does have to be a time for it. Right? And it's important to have time to talk. And it's sad when the fact that we don't have time for each other makes that the only time that we do have for each other is going to be used for negativity. But it's important that husband and wife understand that this is not the time for negativity. This is a time to become closer. And like I said, don't expect someone... Don't rely on someone else for the excitement and enthusiasm, making it sound like it's their responsibility, to apologize to you and to excite you and to make you all into something. This is something that we do mutually, and should never be something that one uses against the other. There's a lot more to say about it, but let's just stick to that because the main idea I think is very clear. Now, being that we're past a certain difficulty here, right? Husband and wife had a disagreement, had hard feelings. how do we move on? Right? Someone's hurt, and somebody's feeling rejected. So the first thing you always want to do when you want to clear a situation like this that went on between two people is start with an apology. Always start with an apology. Whenever you're getting over a difficult situation, no matter what it is, whether it's in general in a relationship, you want to change things, or it's a specific isolated episode, always start with an apology. Doesn't matter if you're the husband or you're the wife. You start by saying, last night it wasn't so batant, we didn't get along, something happened, I want to apologize. When you start with an apology, you have that credibility to move on. Come up with something that you could have done better. And don't start justifying. Don't start saying, I really wasn't nice. I'll tell you, it was all because you said something and you know that. But I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. I should have been more understanding. I should have been more patient. I should have been in a better mood. I should not have been nasty to you. I shouldn't have snapped at you. I'm sorry. When you start with an apology, people feel good, and that's what they need to hear. And you should know you're not being such a martyr, because there's always what to apologize for. Being too self-critical and too self-blaming is no good, but it's good to start with the part that you could have done better and take responsibility. Take responsibility. The next thing you want to do is talk about what happened that bothered you, but only talk about it, about yourself. After you say, I'm sorry this and this happened, I apologize, I'll try and make sure it doesn't happen again. I want to share with you that I was hurt when I felt not wanted. Not when you made me feel. I made you feel. I didn't make you up. Don't say the word you, because that's what makes people feel defensive. I felt it was about me. And right away go on to next time. I would appreciate it if next time we could do things better. Don't get stuck on the past, and don't get stuck on making someone agree or admit that they did something wrong. Let someone, let your spouse justify and even rationalize why or when. No problem. Please, if it's possible, and next time we do something. Don't force someone to apologize. Don't force someone to commit to doing it differently next time. Just be very clear that you would really appreciate if next time could be different. Another thing that I think in this situation is important, and in many situations like this, is be very clear, clarify that you understand the importance of communication, and there may not have been time for it, and going forward, you want to make time for it. Very often people just get stuck on the solution, next time, I'd really appreciate it, this doesn't happen. I know, but it happened because we didn't have time to talk. I know, but still, I just don't want it to happen. No, I understand that we didn't have time to talk, and I feel bad that we didn't have time to talk. And I'd really appreciate if we could make time to talk, and this Monday we're going to spend a half hour talking, and maybe go on a walk and make sure we have time for each other, because we're married. And even though there's a lot of responsibilities going on, we're still going to try very hard. And then I would appreciate if when this comes up, it shouldn't happen like this again. And obviously, if it comes to communicating about how a schedule will make you feel better, and that you shouldn't have to ask, and you shouldn't feel rejected, that's fine as well, and something that I think is very healthy, that people should be very clear about and not apologetic about. Let me just end off with what this woman mentions in the end. It's not fear that a woman's holding the key to her husband's heart and that she's responsible. I don't see it as a responsibility and a codependency that you always have to make sure someone else is happy and it's always going to be your fault. I don't think that's the point of the message that people have been sharing with you in classes. But there is some truth to it. There is some truth to it. There's a lot that a woman could do to help her husband. Men are very much in the hands of a woman and how they're going to be treated by them and how they're going to be respected by them. That's how it is. That's how Hashem made us. So is it fear? And do you have to always be a super mom and a super woman to make your husband happy? I don't think so. I don't think that's your responsibility. I don't think it's always going to be your fault when something goes wrong. And like I started off with, I think that understanding your spouse better might make you more empowered and equipped to be a better wife. But there is something about it, and I see it as also feeling empowered. Yes, I have the key. If a parent would be resentful, why is it that I have to always be making my children feel good? Why, if I snap at them and scream at them, are they allowed to misbehave? That's how Hashem made it. And you're an adult, and you're responsible, and you should feel good about it. You have the ability to help your child grow. So I think wives should see it as a privilege to be able to help their husband and be respectful to the husband. And usually, with the right investment and the right amount of respect, you get it all back. It's not a one-way street. It's not about just being responsible and everything's my fault if it goes wrong. No, you get a lot of this back when you do it right. So I don't think that it's 100% across the board and a woman's always responsible and it's always up to her. But I do think there's something about it that that's how Hashem made us. And every husband wants to be respected. And most often, when he feels respected and he feels like someone's being clear with him and open with him and vulnerable and communicating, I wish myself this helps us live together peacefully. Bahava Achva Shalom V'Rayas.